Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back this week, Gene and Tim. We welcome two guests. Dr. Irina Scott, who's been on the Paracast before. She and another person who's been on the show, Philip Mantle, are authors of a new book called Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Pascagoula Alien Abduction. And this takes us, of course, beyond the original abduction case back in 1973. And we go on to the fact that it wasn't just Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson who had encounters. Other people saw things at the same time. We should remind our listeners that Calvin was on the Paracast a couple of times. Unfortunately, he died after a long illness some weeks back. And I thought he was a gentleman, a real gentleman. We were very happy to have him on the show, and he's certainly going to be missed. Philip, welcome back to the Paracast, and I wanted to ask you, first of all, kind of a little background. How did you happen to get involved in covering a sighting that goes back to 1973?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen, Irina. Yeah, that's a good question. In 2015, I set up my own little publishing concern, just me, called Flying Distress. And one of the books I wanted to look at was a reprint of the book that Charles Hickson co-authored with Billy Mendez back in 1983, UFO Contact at Pascagoula. There were only a few hardback versions flying around online, and they were very expensive. So I sought out the copyright owner, and eventually we came to an agreement so I could republish the book. And I thought at that time, I knew Charles Hickson had passed away, but I assumed, although I wasn't 100% sure, that Calvin Parker was still alive. And I thought if I could find him, maybe I could get an interview with him to bring things up to date. Maybe add that as like an extra chapter to Charlie's original book. So in 2017, around that time, I set out to try and find Calvin. It took me a while. I eventually got an email for him. Luckily, it still worked. He gave me his telephone number, and I called him. And he was very polite, but really didn't want to tell me a lot at that point. So we arranged to speak again. What I didn't know, gentlemen, is that just literally some weeks before I contacted Calvin, he'd been to the funeral of a friend. As him and his wife went out, were coming out of the funeral home or whatever it was, they signed a book of condolence. Of course he signed it, you know, Calvin Parker. And the people behind him saw his name, and then, you know, the wink, wink, nudge, nudge started. And he at first thought that was very disrespectful because this was his friend's funeral. So as they're going home, Wynette says to him, you know, I've had enough of this. You ought to write your own story up so everybody will know it then. Everybody wants to know what happened. He never told the full story. So he said, yes, darling, of course I will. He had no intention of doing it. I don't know if it was the second or third phone call. He told me this. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll send you a sample contract. You can have a look at it. I said, why haven't you told your story in full? And he told me about all the harassment he'd had with the media, and that if he spoke to them, they misrepresented what he had to say. Well, I said, well, the only way around that, Calvin, is to write it yourself. And no one can change it. So he agreed to do a book with me on one condition. And that was I wasn't allowed to alter any of the contents of it. Even the spelling and the grammar had to be left as it was. And I agreed. Calvin wanted it that way because he wanted people to know who he was, his character, his background. And he felt that was important. So we worked on an outline of the book. And we literally started with, the introduction. And it would go backward and forward between us until eventually the whole book was finished. It was Pascagoula, the closest encounter. Came out in 2018. And much to our surprise, it got a tremendous reception. That's literally how I got involved with Calvin Parker. Just looking for an interview.
The danger of looking for interviews, right?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, he said similar things to me as he said to Wayne at the beginning. He said, yeah, I'm going to write a book. He said, I've already started. So I called his bluff. And I said, well, let me have a look at what you've written. And it was just some notes. It was no attempt to write a book. It was just some notes. But eventually Calvin said, you know, he was glad he'd done it. You know, he wished he'd done it some time ago. But, you know, and I didn't know at that point as well, guys, that Calvin had been seriously ill. A couple of years before that, he'd had a stroke. He had open heart surgery twice. So maybe, you know, there in the back of his mind was that lingering thought, you know, if I don't do it now, then I never will. And of course, that turned out to be exactly right. And, you know, he recognized he'd made the right decision. And the rest, as they say, you know, is history.
There was also a sequel to that book.
Yes. I mean, when Calvin's book came out, we then, you know, found out more information about not just him, but Charles Hickson as well. He was, you know, was just as an important part of the story. And we found some new evidence, new information. For example, Charlie Hickson was under hypnosis twice with the late Bud Hopkins. And I managed to obtain the copies of the tapes of those hypnosis sessions. Calvin himself had another encounter in 1993. And with the aid of a friend, he literally drove unannounced to a UFO conference in Florida, where Bud Hopkins was speaking, and went under hypnosis with Bud in his hotel room. And we managed to obtain a copy of that tape as well. So all this was new, and so we you know, we had Pascagoula, the story continues, and, you know, it just got more and more fascinating as time progressed.
Now, of course, I won't get into all of it here, but you know, of course, that doing hypnosis of abductees can be somewhat questionable.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, it's evidence, in inverted commas. And if we publish it, you know, people will complain. If we don't publish it, then we're hiding something. So either way, you can't really win. It's a bit like a polygraph test. If you take it and pass, people will say, well, it's not admissible in court. However, if you take it and fail, they'll call you a liar. So, I mean, I asked Calvin about the hypnosis, and I said, was it of any use? And he said, not really. He says it clarified a couple of things, but I remembered most of it anyway. So, you know, it's there. Like our new book, we present what information we've uncovered and allow, you know, the reader to come to their own conclusion. There are some that, you know, are steadfastly in favor of using regressive hypnosis. I personally have never used it. You know, apart from just last year. I wasn't there personally, but we'll come to that, I dare say, at some point. But it's something Calvin, you know, agreed to do. And, you know, we published. Publish and be damned, gentlemen.
Well, the point is the sessions already had occurred, so it's not that you can backtrack. What's done is done.
Yeah, absolutely. But nobody knew about these sessions, so we you know, we thought we'd best thing to do, Bud Hopkins' entire archive is with Dr. David Jacobs. So, you know, I contacted him, and with Calvin's permission, he released the tapes. And at that time, these were cassette tapes. When they arrived here at my home, I had to buy a tape cassette player because I didn't have anything to listen to them on. They were tapes.
Yeah, and this is the old technology. I was placed in a similar situation, where I found some old recordings my wife had made. She's a singer. And, of course, I then had to go out and buy a cassette player because it was so long ago and so far away. Our guest, Dr. Irina Scott, Philip Mandel. The title of the book is Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Pascagoula Alien Abduction. And we're going to move not just to Calvin Parker's story, but beyond that with Irina Gene, Philip and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So one of our guests, Philip Mantle, has been telling us of his encounters with Calvin Parker and how they came to work together and how two books from Calvin were published. We've covered those in the Paracast previously. Irina Scott, welcome back. How did you get involved in this case?
Well, I got involved way back at the same time the abduction happened.
And that was because I was living in Missouri, and my mother was living in Ohio, which is around 600 miles away. And one night she called on October the 11th, 1973, and said, "Did you hear that noise?" And I told her she was nuts and flipped her wig. And anyway, she called a few days later and said there was, she was a skeptic, by the way. She called a few days later and said there was this huge UFO wave going on, that it was, people were staying in at night and keeping their kids out from going out and different things like that. And it sounded just like a war or something. And then I was living in Missouri and I just forgot about it. Didn't pay attention for quite a few years. And then I was working in Ohio and working for Ohio State University. And one day I was in the library, and just on a whim, they had real newspapers there that you didn't knock your eyes out looking at microfilm. I decided to go in and see if I could find the date for when she did that. And I didn't know when it was. There were millions of papers. It was just like something from a TV show of vaults and things. And I went in. There were all these papers, and I thought, I will never find this. But I thought it was the middle of October 1973 as a wild guess. And so I went to those papers, and I thought, there's a million papers there. And I pulled down a few, and I found it just really fast. And I was only planning to look for about two or three papers. So anyway, there's a little note about this big sound. And so for some reason, I got interested in it. And I think it was because I thought my mother was crazy. I couldn't figure out why she would do that. And so I started exploring, and the sound was huge. It was maybe the second most expensive sound ever. And I submitted some information to a scientific journal, and the state seismologist of Ohio was interested, and he helped me do research, and I actually published in a journal about the strange sound of October the 11th, 1973. And the sound seemed to be exactly, I mean, just like exactly the same time as the abduction, except it was in a different place. But anyway, then, so that was it. And then Philip asked me to interview people about the abduction, and I hadn't paid attention to the abduction at all and had no interest. And so, anyway, at that time, that was the same time I'd done some the research on the sound and knew there was a big flap in Ohio about the same time. And so I was interested. And so that made me continue and interview people and get interested. And that's how I got into it.
So how did you get in touch with Philip Mantle in participating in this?
Well, he had published a couple of my books, and he's in England, where they have an accent, and down in Pascagoula, they have an accent, and I was kind of in between, and he had, you know, from England, he had to sort out all the UK Times and everything else besides having a accent, and so he knew me from writing books, and he asked me if I could interview people, and so that's how I got into it.
Now, for those who have heard of this case by legend alone, which is a lot of people because we're talking about something I hear that happened so many years ago, either of you want to take this, give us kind of like a short summary of what happened to Hixon and Parker in 1973. Yeah, Philip, do you want to do it or are you?
Yeah, I'll do that. I mean, Calvin was 18, almost 19. Just got engaged to his fiance and later wife, Waynette. And he was working all the hours under the sun. And she said, you know, I never see you. Now, Calvin didn't live in Pascagoula. He lived out near Laurel, which I think is, a couple of hundred miles away. But his family had grown up alongside the Hixons. So it was Calvin's father. Said, why don't you ring Charlie? He's a foreman in the building ships, in the shipbuilding. Might be able to get you a job at the shipyard. So Calvin did. So he says, yeah, no problem. We'll go up some vacancies. So the idea was Calvin would lodge with Charlie Hixon Monday to Friday, paying some lodgings, work in the shipyard, and then go home on a weekend and then see how it goes. He's planning to get married in November. He just bought a brand new car. So this is great. So Thursday, October the 11th, 1973, was Calvin's first day at work in the shipyard. He says the morning went great. You know, got stuck in the afternoon. He was a welder. And he's driving them home. And both gentlemen enjoyed fishing. And it was on the way home that Charlie said, "You fancy doing some fishing tonight, son?" I said, "Yeah, great." They went home, got some tackle. They stopped en route to buy some bait. And Charlie's giving directions because Calvin didn't know the location. He wasn't familiar with the area. And he said, "We're going down by the river, Pascagoula River," directing him. They pass a car that's parked up. They go by a no-entry sign, and Calvin comments on this, and Charlie says, "Don't take no notice." So they get their fishing rods out. They're in one location, but it's infested with insects. So they move to another, which is an old pier on a little place that had you know, closed many years before. So they literally stood there on the pier, you know, fishing away. And first they hear a little zipping noise. And then these blue lights emerge from behind them, and it goes out across the water. Calvin thinks immediately, it's the police. I know we shouldn't have ignored the no-entry sign. We're going to spend the night in jail. And both guys turn around roughly at the same time, and of course it's not the police. Descending is a large football-shaped object. It's got two lights on one end. The light is extremely bright. It stops about 2 feet above the ground. An opening appears, and then again more dazzling light comes through this opening. Three humanoid figures literally glide across the ground towards them. They're described as having about 5 foot tall, maybe a little tall, and no head, no neck. Pointed protrusions out of each side of the head and one out of the front. Their arms are a little bit longer. They have pincer or mitten-like appendages. Their legs remain together. They don't walk. They're grey in colour, and they said that the covering or the skin is grey and wrinkly, like that of an elephant. Both guys are petrified at this sight. Two grab over Charlie. One gets hold of Calvin, and their fear kind of goes.
We continue with the description back on October 11th, 1973, from Philip Mantle about the UFO encounter with Calvin Parker and Charles Sixton. With Gene, Tim, Irina, and Philip, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The sitting president is losing favor with his own party.
President Biden's approval rating within his own party has hit a record low. According to a Gallup poll, only 75% of Democratic respondents approve of his performance in the White House, marking an 11-point drop from the previous month. Meanwhile, 35% of independent voters expressed approval, down 4 percentage points from September. I'm John Schaefer.
The United Auto Workers Union and GM are potentially getting a little bit closer to a labor agreement. According to CNBC, discussions persisted into Friday morning, and the proposed deal would be modeled after the tentative agreement recently struck with Ford. Packaged chopped onions are under a recall due to a salmonella outbreak. Gill's brand diced yellow or red onions have led to reported cases in 22 states. The CDC has documented a total of 73 cases nationwide. It's crucial to discard the affected packages as cooking will not eliminate the salmonella risk. Skip Kelly, USA News.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Phil, to continue the story of Hickson and Parker, they encounter these beings, which you were describing.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, please.
Yeah, but both gentlemen are paralyzed. They can only move their eyes. They are then taken, I mean, literally floated to this object. They go in through the opening. Charlie goes to the right, Calvin to the left. Calvin's placed on a transparent structure. This ugly thing that he calls it stands to attention, you know, just by the side of him. And this thing comes out of the ceiling. It's about the size of a pack of cards, goes around him, making a clicking noise, off it goes again, and then another creature appears, but this one is pretty much looks like a human female, although the middle fingers on her hands are somewhat longer. She opens Calvin's mouth, she puts his finger in into his mouth, it hurts, to remove his clothing, his bottom half, his shoes and socks, and they stick something in his foot, and he says it hurts. You know, and they clothe him. He manages to regain a little bit of composure and he grabs hold of this female, but she points to the big creature and it grabs him, it's paralyzed, and out he goes back to whence he came. Charlie had a similar experience. He just said he was suspended. You know, he doesn't understand. He said, I was suspended. And this thing came out of the wall in front of him. He said it looked like a big eye, as if it was scanning him. He didn't see any female creature. And again, he was placed back out on the pier. And he said Calvin was there, standing, looking out over the water with his arms stretched out in front of him. Charlie lost his balance. His legs were a bit wobbly. Finally got up and shook Calvin. Is he all right? You all right? You all right, son? They turned around, and this thing was gone in a flash. So they debated what to do. And, you know, Calvin says, there's no way we're telling anybody. You know, one of the things he was terrified of was his fiancée's father finding out. He says, you know, he'd never let me marry her if I'd come out with a crazy story like this. So they agree not to say anything. So they stagger back to Calvin's brand new car, you have to remember that. They open the passenger door, all the glass falls out. Calvin gets in the other side, the car won't start. He said it took him at least 20 attempts before it would go. So they're heading off home, and it was Charlie who had a change of heart. He said, we've got to tell somebody. What if these things come back and do this to someone else? What if it's the start of an invasion? You have to remember, Charlie had been in the army and fought in the war in Korea. So Calvin agrees, but on one condition. He'll say, I'll say I saw the UFO and the creatures, but once they came out and got hold of me, I want to say I'll pass out. I don't want to talk about it. That's what they came to. They pulled in at a little convenience store that had a payphone. They first and foremost phoned Keesler Air Force Base. And a young lady answered the phone and said, we're not in the UFO business anymore. Ring your local authorities. So they do. And that's Jackson County Sheriff's Department. They send a car out. They give them a sobriety test first and foremost, which they pass. They escort them into town to the sheriff's office. They're both interviewed separately. And the sheriff, Fred Diamond, and his deputies didn't believe them. So they put both of them in a room together and left them alone. And the deputy said, we're back in a few minutes. Unbeknown to Charlie and Calvin, in the desks next to them is a tape recorder playing, recording what they're saying. The deputy comes back a few minutes later, takes something out of the desk. They don't know what it is. And the deputy thinks, we'll have them now. They'll be laughing and joking while we weren't there. But of course, when they play the tape back, they weren't laughing and joking. Calvin's crawling up the walls. You know, Charlie's trying to calm things down. They're both thinking about what had happened. So, you know, the sheriff says, there's not a lot we can do. You can go home. And they say to the sheriff, please don't tell anybody. And he agrees. So they go home. Next morning, they get up. They drive to work. There's a few extra cars in the parking lot. They weren't at work long when they're summoned to the boss's office. And he said, you know, what the hell have you two been up to? The telephones won't stop ringing. There's journalists calling from everywhere. We've got the media outside. So they tell the boss what had happened the night before. He offers them the use of their attorney, Joe Colingo, if they need it. And they are dispatched eventually to Singing River Hospital. They have a checkup there. Somebody thinks, well, what about radiation? Well, the hospital can't check for that, so guess where they were sent to? Keesler Air Force Base, the first place that had turned them down. They had literally just checked with a Geiger counter, and it registers nothing. But the guys that were in charge said, well, why are you here? Why don't you tell us what happened? And we have a copy of that conversation. They had a stenographer at Keesler Air Force Base who recorded it. So the full transcript, unredacted, is in our book. Similarly with the what became known as the secret tape at the sheriff's office, we have a transcript of that, so you can read every word they said, and they'll be secretly recorded. The following day, of course, Dr. James Harder from APRO turned up, and so did the Close Encounters man, Dr. Hynek himself. They went through everything, they interviewed the gentleman. The following day, before going back, you know, Hynek calls a press conference and said, you know, these two gentlemen are legitimate, should treat them with respect. And off he goes. And, you know, the story hit the headlines around the world.
So much for the Air Force being out of the flying saucer business.
Well, yeah. But, you know, that's just how it happened.
Now, obviously here, this is something that impacted them totally differently. And by the way, I want to ask you just whether it relates to anything or not. So Calvin has a brand new car. What kind of car was it?
I can't remember, to be honest. I know it's a big American thing. He's told me, I've got a picture of it, but a different color. It was bright yellow. And it was brand spanking new, a Ford something or other. You know, he got that ready for getting married. Calvin had his life planned out, guys. You know, getting married, you know, I'm going to have a regular job, get a house, have children, have grandchildren, retire. That was it planned. But as he said, I went to work at the shipyard that day. I got hired, fired and abducted in the same day. That was his one and only day there. He went back home eventually. And a couple of weeks later, he ended up in the hospital with a breakdown. But he did manage to get married in November. And his wife, Wynette, of course, has been with him ever since.
Did he get, what kind of other job did he get if he wasn't going to work there?
Well, what he did to begin with, and he hasn't, I think he made this, you know, open a lot. For the first year, after he got married, he spent in the Royal Marines. The Marine Corps. We call it the Royal Marines here. I know you call it the Marine Corps. He spent a year in the Marine Corps, and he said he did that to get out of the way, to get away from the media. And he said, but the media caught up with him, and he went to see his commanding officer, and they agreed on an honourable discharge. So he left that. And I don't know if you gentlemen remember the TV series in the 1980s, The Hulk. You know, Dr. David Banner, you know, the Hulk's alter ego, was chased by a journalist. And every time the journalist caught up, he would move on to the next town and get another job and have another adventure. Well, that's exactly what happened to Calvin. He did that in real life. His wife and child, and he would move to another town. If somebody recognized him, he said, right, we're packing up and moving on again. And there was even one point he used a false name. And his boss called him into the office one day and said, you're fired. He said, why? He said, well, your name don't match your social security number. You know, so that's what it was like. You know, he spent some time working in the oil fields, you know. He was a builder. He could fix and build anything, you know. So he literally moved from town to town.
This sounds, of course, not just like The Hulk, the TV series with Bill Bixby, of course, and Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk. It sounds partly like The Fugitive, although he didn't commit a crime. He just committed a crime of seeing the wrong thing. Irina, Philip, Gene, and Tim, you're in
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart a birth certificate, and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Now, this routine of Calvin Parker being Dr. Banner or Richard Kimball, how long did that last? Did he ever settle down?
Eventually settled, you know, in his last few years, you know. Calvin was plagued by this. He was traumatized. Charlie was the opposite, of course. But Charlie had been not used to trauma, but had experienced trauma. When he was fighting in the Korean War, several times they came under heavy fire. And he said during the encounter, he actually used his military experience. He thought these creatures were going to kill him, you know, while he was on board this thing. And he said, if they're going to kill me, let's get it over and done with. But then he remembered when he was in combat and they were under fire. And he thought he was going to die. And I think his commanding officer said to him, just keep your head down, son. You know, stay calm. And we'll have a chance to get out of here and we'll be fine. And that's exactly what happened. So he had that experience to fall back on, whereas Calvin didn't. So Charlie was the torchbearer. You know, he went on to speak on the Mike Douglas show and Dick Cavett show. He would speak at a few UFO conferences. I mean, he'd speak at your local church hall if you asked him, you know. But Charlie thought this was important. He thought it was going to be part of something. There was something going to happen, and this was the start of it. And Calvin would, when he'd see Charlie doing something, he'd just say to himself, I wish he'd stop talking about it. Let's forget it. And occasionally, you know, Charlie would persuade Calvin to appear somewhere, but few and far between. But, you know, people just forgot about it. Calvin popped up again in 2013. Because it was the 40th anniversary, and you know, local media got a couple of interviews with him, and then he disappeared off again. He had his own business by then. So, you know, he didn't have to wander from town to town, and he would just not talk about it.
So much for people saying that when you see a UFO or become an abductee, you could become rich and famous. A lot of people just want to escape the thing. Irina, we've kept you silent here, not deliberately. Can you flesh out any details from Philip you'd like to add?
Calvin's wife, and, you know, they found out about it, and it didn't faze her. She still wanted to get married, and so they got married. But she said after that happened to him that he was, like, really, really nervous and shook up. Like, he developed a tick in his mouth, a twitch or a tick, and that lasted a long time of just a twitch, and that he was just really nervous and shook up, and it had a nervous breakdown right after the abduction, not too long. He went back to live with his father for a while, with his parents, and had a nervous breakdown and was hospitalized. But he wouldn't even talk about it to her. And so she thought he was very sincere and really, really disturbed about it.
Tim.
Well, what about, I'm interested in Hickson. Didn't he claim that he had another encounter later in life?
Yeah, absolutely. Charles Hickson would become what we would then phrase as a contactee. He claimed that these beings, whatever they were, contacted him on several occasions. Not visually, he just got a couple of messages. And those were that something big was going to happen, and he was going to be part of it. There was no details. And then, I can't remember the year, but him and his family had been out to see his mother-in-law on Mother's Day. Have a celebration at Mother's Day, and were driving home when the whole family had a very close UFO sighting. And Charlie thought, whatever is planned to be happening, this is it. It's happening now. And he thought this thing was going to land, but his family prevented him from getting out of the car and chasing after this thing. And Irina also interviewed Eddie Hickson, Charlie's eldest son, who's still alive. And he said it affected his mother more than his father. His mother was constantly looking over her shoulder to see if it was going to happen again. That's what she was scared of. So both men reacted completely differently to the same event. And perhaps we shouldn't be surprised by that. We're all different. But they were totally different. And, Charlie would tell the story in any way he could. He even recorded it on a vinyl record. And I have one here. And how many pressings there were of it, I wouldn't imagine it'd be a huge amount. And, of course, he co-authored his book in 1983. So he just thought it was important to tell the story, whereas Calvin just wanted him to shut up. Simple as that.
Irina, you interviewed then Charles' son. Did he say how the family perceived their husband, father's story? I mean, I've heard from time and time again that, a family a lot of times would be the least likely to believe your story. Oh, yeah, Dad's just telling a story again. That sort of thing. But I get the impression from your interviews that they looked at their father as being earnest in what he was saying.
Yeah, they thought he was very earnest, and his wife was more afraid than he was, and that sort of inhibited him. And he also emphasized a number of times that Charles didn't make any money on it, that other people were making money, and that he would ask his father, why aren't you making money? His father said, well, he wanted to convince everybody that he was sincere in telling the truth. And so he didn't want the impression that he was making money off of it. He said that, if he had to travel and miss work, that he might take a little money. But he wasn't, trying to enrich himself by the story. And so I think that's, the family definitely believed him. And his wife was very afraid that something might happen to him on account of the thing. And he'd been in the military, and he'd had life and death experiences. And that's why he was probably able to hold up to it a lot better than Calvin. And then, if you're in life and death, it's probably smaller things if people are making fun of you and saying, oh, there's the UFO man. Have you seen anything today? And where Calvin, hadn't had that experience, and that's not quite as bad as being in the military and almost getting killed for Charles. And so I think he had a different background. And he also felt very responsible that he should tell people this because it's something people should know. And not just something, you know, if everybody calls you crazy, just stop, shut up, because he sincerely thought it happened to him. And he was concerned about other people, and he thought it's something that humans should know. His son said that when he was younger, that he had once asked his father about UFOs, if they existed. And his father said, oh, no. His father was surprised a few years later.
Said that so as not to scare his kid. You know, it reminds me, though, of the contactee story of the West Virginia native Woody Derenberger, who claimed to have had contacts with Indrid Cold. And his wife actually met these people as well, but was terrified of them. She said that she felt like that they were up to no good, and because they looked so much like us, that they were infiltrating society. And she was, I guess, forever afraid of what was going on.
Yeah, with Eddie Hicks and Charlie's son, of course, when this happened, he wasn't there. He was in the Marines himself. He was in the Marine Corps. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he read about it first in Stars and Stripes. So his father didn't get on the phone and call him and tell him what happened. He had to read about it somewhere first before he found out about it. Hmm. And thankfully, there is a couple of interviews with Eddie as a younger fella as well, you know, commenting how it affected the family.
We are going to have a lot more to talk about, and I want to get into some of the additional evidence, additional cases that are referred to in the book Beyond Reasonable Doubt with Irina Philip Gianzim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.